The Bible uses the word greater here, and I love that word. We have a great God, and whatever it might be, He is greater. Whatever it might be, He can handle it. And so I want to talk about some things that may be stirring you up today, causing you to struggle and wonder about the outcome. And I want you to consider some things as we apply this text here, verse 4, the year of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God can handle it.
The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Welcome to Pulpit Power, featuring Pastor Tony Skeving, senior pastor of Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Today's message was previously preached before a church audience. And now, here's Pastor Skeving.
Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 4, the little epistle of 1 John and the fourth chapter. You know, these are uncertain times. I don't have to get into that, but there are a lot of folks, and they're kind of going through life a bit in a fog right now. They're struggling, they're wondering, and they are pondering, what is the outcome going to be of all of this? Well, I have some good news for you today, and it's really summed up in the title. God can handle it. God, whatever it is, can handle it. And we find from just a passage, a verse actually here in 1 John chapter 4, that truth. In verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, it's talking to born-again Christians. It says that ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And I love this part, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have a great God, a God who's greater than anything in this world, and a God who can handle whatever it is. You know, we'll use expressions sometimes, "I got this," or "I got this one." But God doesn't have certain things. He's got it. He's got it all, and He can handle it all. And we'll be talking about that today. Let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be in Your Word, and we just pray now that You would make it profitable and that we would lift up You. And Father, help God's people to get our eyes back on You if they're not. And Father, I just pray now that we would realize that You have everything under control. You have a sovereign grip on everything. And whatever it is, whatever the it is, You can handle it. Father, drive that home to our hearts, and we'll thank You for it. We pray now and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was 5 years old, I absolutely loved kindergarten. I mean, it was half a day. It was playing. It was fun. But reality set in the first grade. You had to learn now. I wanted to be outside. My mind was outside, and it was a full day. And so reality set in that it was time to learn some things. Well, I began to learn and grasp little concepts here, and I'll never forget the day in first grade that the teacher taught us about the greater sign and the lesser sign, and how this is greater than that. And the whole greater thing kind of came home to me. Well, the Bible gives us an awful lot of examples of things that are greater. And we find here that it's used going way back to Genesis. In Genesis 4 and in verse 13, Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is greater than I can handle." And then in Genesis 39 and verse number 9, Joseph says this to Potiphar's wife. He says, "There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he, Potiphar, kept back anything from me but thee." And Joseph here uses that word greater. Well, you get over to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 11 and in verse 11, Jesus no less says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." You know, there have been a lot of great men lived down through the annals of time. And we can speculate on who the greatest was, but our Lord settles it here. He says, "Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." So aside from Jesus Christ, the greatest man ever, according to Jesus, was John the Baptist. Well, then we get into Mark 12, And in verse number 30, Christ says this. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says this, there is none other commandment greater than these. And so I'm just trying to help us to wrap our minds a little bit around this word greater, greater. In Luke chapter 22 and in verse 27, Jesus says, for whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? He goes on, he says, but the servant is greater in God's estimation. And so we find this word greater, and the Bible drives it home to us. In fact, if you look back one chapter here in 1 John where we turned, in verse number, chapter 3 and verse 20, I love this verse. The Bible says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. There are times when our hearts can condemn us. And yet the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can trust it? And so the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. It's telling us here you can't trust your heart. And so if your heart condemns you, and maybe as you listen today, you have done some things in the past. You've been some places. You've said some things. And there's this condemnation. There's this guilt. There's this cloud that hangs over you. Well, look again real closely at verse 20. The Bible says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. We have a great God. Now, back to our text one page away. In 1 John 4 and in verse number 4, here's a reminder. To God's people, it says, ye are of God, little children. I love that. That's what we are to God, like a child. It goes on and says, and have overcome them. What's the them? Well, that's any opposition. It could be the world. That's the them. It could be the devil and his cohorts. That's the them. It could be our own flesh that opposes us. But it says, we're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now watch this part. Because greater is he that is in you. Now, who's that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. You see, we're born into this world spiritually dead. And the Bible says, wherefore is by one man, that is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, spiritual death, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we're born into this world spiritually dead, and Jesus comes along in John 3, and he says, you must be born again. He's not talking about a physical birth, but he is talking about a spiritual birth. And when we are born again spiritually, we are quickened, as the Bible calls it, or brought back to life spiritually by the Spirit of God that takes a residence within us. Now, it's not something you necessarily feel. You don't have an apparition of God or a vision or feel warm and tingly. But you know that you are now the landlord of somebody who wasn't in there before. You have a new tenant living inside of you. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you, talking about the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, it says, than he that is in the world. The Bible uses the word greater here. And I love that word. We have a great God, and whatever it might be, he is greater. Whatever it might be, he can handle it. And so I want to talk about some things that may be stirring you up today, causing you to struggle and wonder about the outcome. And I want you to consider some things as we apply this text here. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God can handle it. God can handle it. First of all, I believe that God can handle our deficiencies, our shortcomings, our weaknesses, and we all have them. We all have our inadequacies. We all have our limitations. There's a helplessness and a hopelessness about us, and especially now. But God can handle our deficiencies. You ever have a situation where you don't know what to do? And you're wondering, of all these decisions here, A, B, C, D, what should I do? Well, the Bible tells us in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, that means generously, and upbraideth not. He's not going to stiff arm you. He's not going to rebuke you for coming and asking him. It says, he upbraideth not, and it that needed wisdom shall be given unto him. I love this promise. It's one I've claimed many times, that if we lack wisdom, ask of God, and it shall be given unto him. Maybe you need wisdom today. Maybe you have some job-related decisions at your doorstep, and you have to make a call one way or another. Maybe the money's getting tight, and you have to make some decisions. Maybe it's health-related. Maybe it's domestic. Maybe it's a marital situation, a relationship with the children. Whatever it might be, the promise is the same. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, we have things we need to know answers for. We have families to run. We have children to raise. We have work situations. We have other issues. Some are volatile. And you go, what do I do in this situation? Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. We have a promise here. If we lack it, ask of God, and it shall be given him. You're saying, what do we do? Where do we go? Well, believe me, God's willing to help us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he knows the answer, and he can handle it, whatever it might be. You know, for a third of a century here at Fargo Baptist Church, we have had situation after situation after situation. We, quite frankly, haven't known what to do. And we've had some decisions to make, and we've wondered, well, what do we do here, and how do we do it? You know, we talked earlier before the message about Africa. And I was thinking of Brother Hammett being over there, and it really all started years ago where this church actually took the initiative to go over to Botswana. We bought a vehicle there, a little jeepney kind of a vehicle, and we rented a house, and we started sending teams of church members over there. And people were saying, well, what are we doing? And it was kind of like, I'm not sure, but I just know God wants us over there, and he'll lead us to do this. You know that Brother Hammett to this day, and he's told me this several times, he said, if Fargo Baptist hadn't done that, he said, I probably wouldn't be there right now. And so there are times where we don't know what to do, and even with Liberia right now, we don't fully know how it's going to play out, but we know God wants us there, and we are there by faith, and we're going to keep this thing going, and we're going to watch what God does. We acknowledge our deficiencies. You know, the Bible in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, it says, and he said unto me, this is Paul talking, what God said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That is a great verse. Here's Paul, and he's struggling, he's questioning, he's wondering, and he's appealing to God, and God says back to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's saying here, I can handle it. Whatever it is, I can handle it. I can handle your burdens. I can handle your concerns. And we all have those. And we all have secret concerns. We all have secret burdens. And there are people outside of the obvious things. They're struggling with loneliness right now. They're struggling perhaps with the salvation of a loved one. They're struggling with a wayward child. They're struggling maybe with health issues or financial issues or whatever it might be. God can handle it. And God comes along, and in 1 Peter 5:7, he speaks of casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting all that care upon him. We need to get a hold of that. And whatever that care might be, cast it on him. No matter what that burden might be, God can handle it. God is greater than that burden. Maybe with these struggles that we are going through right now, God might be trying to show us our limitations. God might be trying to show us that we need him. You know, we try and act like we have it all together. And we can meet each other and have the big smile and, you know, the thumbs up and life as usual going forward and all that kind of thing. And we can kind of portray a confidence, but we really don't have it all together. In fact, even when there's not a pandemic going on, we don't have it all together. We don't know what to do. We have our limits. And so whatever it might be, we need to admit that we need God's help. You know, intellectually, we need God's help. Academically, we need God's help. God's work doesn't go forward on a high IQ, and I'm proof of that. I mean, we have deficiencies, and God can overcome these deficiencies. Now, we ought to keep growing and reading and learning and developing, and that's good. But most of all, we need to tap into God's wisdom, because when we lack, he gives it liberally. And really, the work of God doesn't go forward on high IQs and men with degrees. And so maybe academically you're limited. Maybe physically you have some limitations. Well, let me just say this. God can lift you out of yourself even physically and do great things through you. God can handle it. Look, if you would, in Philippians chapter 4. You say, well, but Pastor, I'm trying to get it all done, but I'm beginning to feel overwhelmed. Good, good. That's a good thing. We need to realize we can't do it. And here we're told in Philippians 4 exactly that. In fact, in verse 19, here's a promise for you. Paul says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God shall supply all your need, whatever it is. And you might be going, I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know how we're going to make it. Well, claim a promise. God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The psalmist said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's not going to provide your greed, but he is going to provide your need. And he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and you can count on him. He can handle it. He can handle your deficiency. Secondly, he can handle your defeats. Your defeats. We've all bombed out at times in life. We've all had our setbacks, and we've all had our failures, and no doubt we all have things that we could look back at with regret and saying, oh, what a mess I made there. Every one of us. Well, God can handle that. You know, Peter made a real mess. And in fact, Peter, he claimed that no matter what, he would never deny the Lord. And he even kind of referred to the other, you know, they might. Not me. No way. Well, that night, before the rooster's crowing, he's denying the Lord before a maidservant. And as his eyes met up with the Lord's, his heart broke. And he went and he wept bitterly, the Bible says. If you can imagine that. He had really blown it. He had really failed his best friend at his greatest hour. And now he thinks he's washed up. In fact, we find that he goes back to fishing, basically, later on. But God's not done with him. And on the day of the resurrection in Mark 16:7, the angel says to the women, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. Now here's the angel and he's saying to these ladies, go tell his disciples, but he singles out Peter. I preached the whole message one time on those two words, and Peter. Why did the angel point out Peter? Peter was one of the disciples. Wouldn't that be assumed? Not by Peter. And probably not by the other men at this point, because he had been a rat and he had denied the Lord, and now he's probably has been all washed up and needs to go back to a livelihood of fishing once again. But God wasn't done with him yet. We have a God that is greater than our defeats. We have a God that is greater than our mistakes, and he can handle them. And he says to these gals, go your way, tell his disciples, and he singles out Peter and Peter, just in case there's any question, just in case his disciples are wondering, just in case Peter's wondering, that the Lord's not done with him yet. And God wasn't done with him yet. Because within a matter of days, we find Peter preaching on day of Pentecost with power and thousands of people getting saved. Now, maybe you've blown it. Well, you can hit a reset. Because we have a God that is greater than our failures. Maybe some of that failure was before salvation. May I give you a great verse? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the reset. That's the reboot. That's what I love about computers. It can get all jumbled up and you just kind of restart it again and whoop, it just kind of resets itself and it clears itself. And this is such a powerful promise, and it's an old passage and one we have memorized for the most part, but it's still a great truth that if any man be in Christ, in God's sight, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. But I like the rest. It says, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So if you've blown it before salvation, that's under the blood. You say, well, but Pastor, what about if I've blown it since I've been saved? Well, who hasn't? What Christian hasn't blown it since they've been saved? You know that David, a man after God's own heart, David, a man mentioned more times in the Bible than anyone else except Jesus Christ, 960 some times, David himself, a child of God, one who loved the Lord and wrote the 23rd Psalm, messed up in the scarlet sin of adultery, no less. And he comes to the end of himself and he writes a psalm of penitence, Psalm 51. And he says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." God hit the reboot because we serve the God of the second chance. And David nailed it. Renew a right spirit within me. You don't put a Band-Aid over it. It's under the blood. You just confess it. God is greater than our mistakes. Maybe it's a missed opportunity. Who hasn't missed an opportunity in life? Who hasn't set out to accomplish something and fallen flat? I think we all have, if we're honest. But the thing about falling, let me just say, when we fall forward. As a Christian, we fail forward. Because the psalmist also wrote this. In Psalm 145:14, he says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." Isn't that great? The Lord upholdeth all that fall. Have you fallen? God is greater than your fall. God can handle that fall. God is greater than our defeats. And the Bible even speaks of a just man falling 7 times and rising up again, because again, we serve the God of the second chance. So whatever it might have been, admit it, first of all. Admit it. It might have been pride, it might have been self-righteousness, it might have been bitterness, it might have been caused by a number of things, but just admit it. Secondly, learn from it. Whatever it might have been, learn from it. Thirdly, realize that God can use it. Whatever it might have been, God can use it. And fourthly, from this point out, rest in the Lord. Rely upon the Lord. Lean upon the Lord. And fifthly, whatever it might have been from the past, that defeat, let it be a springboard to grow, to go forward. Maybe you failed to witness. Well, start witnessing now. Maybe you failed to give in the past. Well, start giving. No time like the present. Whatever it might be, whatever happened, go forward and commit to growth and make yourself accountable to somebody else. But realize that we have a God who's greater than whatever it might have been. Our God can handle it. He's greater than our defeats. Thirdly, he's greater than our despair. Our despair. This is a time of despair. This is a time of concern. This is a time of fear, quite honestly. And there are a lot of folks, and they are worrying. What's the outcome of this going to be? Well, we don't know, but we do know this. God is greater than any situation, and he can handle it. You're in Philippians 4 already. Here's a couple of great verses. In verse 6, the Bible says, "Be careful for nothing." Now, let's just stop there. You say, what's that talking about? Why shouldn't we be careful? I mean, it's good to be cautious, right? Take precautions. Well, it's not talking about that kind of careful. Here you need to kind of flip the word around, and it really means full of care, full of care. It's saying, be full of care for some things, or a few things. No, it says for nothing. Be full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now watch verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what is it currently that you're fearing? What is it that you are despairing? Do your fears seem insurmountable? You say, how am I going to come out of this? Well, God is greater than our despair. Look, if you would, back in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We find back here that Moses is actually rehearsing the 40-year wilderness wandering which has taken place. The whole book of Deuteronomy is actually Moses going back and retelling the story of what's happened. And so we find him kind of reviewing and reminding the people of the fear that they had that got them into this whole mess. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we pick it up in verse number 26. He says, notwithstanding, you would not go up, that is to fight and take the promised land. He says, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites and to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, Moses said, dread not, neither be ye afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bear thee or carry thee as a man doth bear his son, and all the way that you went until you came into this place. Yet in this thing you did not believe the Lord your God. He reminds them, your eyes were on the giants, your eyes were on the enemy, your eyes were on the circumstances, your eyes weren't on God. We have a great God. He can handle whatever it might be. He's in charge. Well, the circumstances look too great for those Jewish people to do it. And how did it turn out? Well, turn to chapter 4, Deuteronomy here. In Deuteronomy 4, and in verse number 35, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else besides him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. That's Mount Sinai. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou, to bring thee in and to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. Notice that Moses reminds them in verse 38 that God was able to drive out nations that were greater and mightier than Israel. And what a testimony that had to be to the heathen around them. And in fact, in the midst of all of that, Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, gets saved because he sees the greatness of God. And in Exodus 18:11, he says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they deal proudly, he was above them. It convinced Jethro here. What is it that you're despairing right now as a child of God? Is God able to overcome it? Does God have this one? Is God greater? We find that our God is greater than anything. And he can handle your deficiencies, your defeats, your despair. Fourthly, your disputants, meaning those who oppose you, meaning opposition. Meaning those who are resisting you or those who plague you. And maybe enemy might even be too strong of a word, but adversary perhaps. Is there anyone in your life right now that is a thorn in your flesh? Is there anyone in your life right now that is like a cross that you have to bear? And they're giving you a hard time. Maybe they're bad-mouthing you. Maybe they're in competition with you. Maybe they're defaming you. Maybe they're bitter at you. There's always going to be people like this. I call them negos. Negative people. Negos. In Psalm 35 and in verse 1, the psalmist says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Now, we have a strong God, and he's greater than anything. And so if you've got some people right now who are resisting you, remember this promise. Ask God to plead your cause. And fight against those that fight against you. Now, if you have some folks that are resisting you right now, you got to ask yourself, first of all, is God trying to show me something through this? Am I supposed to grow through this? Or maybe the issue is with them. Please consider, everybody has their own private battles, their inner turmoil, some things they're going through. And so really, maybe the issue isn't so much you. In fact, here's what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:25. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure or perhaps will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so there are some folks, and they're their own worst enemy, and they're opposing themselves, and the turmoil and the conflict and the demons really are from within, and maybe you're just the recipient of that. Maybe they're just lashing out at you and taking out their frustration on you. You don't know that for sure, but whatever it might be, if you're suffering in some way from disputants, some folks who are hard on you, the bottom line is God can handle that, and God is greater than that. And God can even use your opposition to grow you and use your critics to grow you. God can handle your disputants. Fifthly, God can handle the devil. God can handle the devil for sure. In fact, we read in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." God is greater than the devil. Now, there are some folks, and they say, well, I don't believe in the devil. I just think that's some medieval folklore and just something to kind of keep people in check and get them to behave and things along those lines. I don't believe in the devil. Now, they'll turn around, they'll say, I believe in Jesus, and really, who couldn't? I mean, his influence has permeated the world after 2,000 years, and there's more historical evidence that a Jesus Christ walked this earth 2,000 years ago than there is that a Thomas Jefferson even walked the earth 200 years ago. We know there is a Jesus Christ, but somebody comes along and says, I don't believe in the devil. I believe in Jesus, but not the devil. You know, in Matthew chapter 4, we find a dialogue between Jesus and the devil. After fasting for 40 days, the devil shows up, and there's this discourse that takes place between our Savior and the devil. If the devil's not real, who was Jesus talking to that day? And by the way, Jesus definitely believes in a personal devil because he made reference to him on several occasions. There is a devil, but God is greater than the devil. God can handle the devil. Now, the devil can discourage us, no question about that. The devil can cause us to despair. The devil can cause us to lose hope and really kind of put a fog over any situation. Maybe you're kind of living in a fog right now. You know, I heard something this last week that took place back in 1952, 8 years before I was born. In fact, it was July of 1952, and there was a woman by the name of Florence Chadwick. And Florence Chadwick was an expert swimmer. And she took a challenge to swim across the Catalina Channel. Well, that's 21 miles. If you can imagine swimming from here to Lake Holly. What was bad is that water never warms up. Even in July, the water is ice cold. There are sharks in that water, but the day she was slated to schedule it, worst of all, there was a fog. It was as thick as pea soup. You could hardly see 20 feet from where you were. She got into those ice-cold waters. She began to swim. She had a support crew around her that actually saw sharks in the fog and were firing off shots to keep the sharks away and things along those lines. She swam for 16 hours, and she was exhausted. And she was 20 and a half miles across the channel, but she didn't know that she only had a half mile to go, 21 miles total. And there in the fog, she was exhausted, and she finally quit a half mile from shore. She said afterwards, if she could have just seen land, if she could have just had hope. She said it wasn't the cold water that bothered me. It wasn't the sharks that bothered me. She said, I couldn't see land. You know, when it comes to life, the devil will fog our lives and basically cloud our lives with a fog that would cause us to lose hope. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. Are you in a fog today? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have the Apostle Paul, and he's kind of, I guess, trying to struggle to wrap his mind around some things that didn't make sense to him. We've all been there. We've said, well, I don't know why this is going on. And Paul was there. Even the great apostle Paul was there. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he's talking about the things that he just couldn't figure out. Beginning in verse 7, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought, that word means begged the Lord thrice or three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, we read verse 9 a moment ago, where the Lord said to him, Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, I was in a fog about this. I couldn't figure out why I had this infirmity in the flesh, this messenger of Satan to buffet me. We don't know exactly what it was, but maybe it was an eye issue. He struggled to see. And whatever it might be, he had three seasons of prayer, I believe, and fasting, where he got serious with God and begged God. He says, I besought the Lord to take this from me. And God said, I'm going to leave that in your life. I'm going to leave that in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that God is in our trials, and that we are to take shields of faith, and at those times of demonic attack, we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know that every trial we go through is what I call father filtered. It has to be filtered, and it has to get by God. And even Job, in the midst of his suffering, he believed that God had a reason in this, and he made this statement, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, remember our text at the beginning? 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The devil's in the world. He's a prince of power of the air. He's a prince of this world. And he will buffalo, and he will bluff, and he will bully a Christian, and he will even bring them into a fog to where they begin to question God and doubt God, when God's still on the throne and God is still greater than the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God can take care of that fog. Oh, backing up to Florence Chadwick. You know that woman swimmer? Well, 2 months later, she attempted it again with no fog, and she set a world record going across the Catalina Channel there. You know, the circumstances can change, but God is consistent, and God knows what he's doing. And again, I love this verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God can handle our deficiencies and defeats, despairs, disputants, the devil. Number 6, our directives. Our directives. And by that I mean the direction, where we're heading, our plans, our goals, our schemes. Now, let me just say right off the bat that the best laid plans without God are a mistake. They go nowhere. In fact, we need God. And when God gets involved, it makes all the difference. And for a third of a century here at Fargo Baptist Church, we've tried to never plan with God out of the picture. We need God in the picture. And we continually are saying, Lord, what do we do next? Now, go ahead and make plans. In fact, the Bible says that a man's heart deviseth his way in Proverbs 16, but the Lord directeth his steps. It's okay to have plans. God needs something to work with. God needs some way to steer us. And so with that heart, devise some things, but let the Lord direct your steps. Bring God in on the picture. Otherwise, you're going to be met with unfulfilled expectations. But whatever that plan might be, that directive, be flexible. Don't get disappointed if it doesn't go your way. Let God be God. And really lay down one agenda, and that is to bring Christ glory and to serve God, whatever it might be. Make plans. Make plans. In fact, I think every Christian ought to be making some plans. I think every Christian ought to have a little bit of restlessness in them and not be so complacent and lethargic that we're not even doing anything by faith. God help us to have a little bit of restlessness, but let God direct us because he can handle our directives. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 118:23 that this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. And boy, what we've seen God do here over 33 years, it's the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. Well, finally, let God be God, because he's greater than anything, and he can handle our disciplines. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, sometimes we can be so disciplined, we can be so self-sufficient, we can be so regimented, and we can think we have it all together. But let us never, ever, ever forget the words of Christ in John 15:5. He said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Now watch these words. "For without me ye can do nothing." Without me ye can do nothing. God is our greatest resource and our greatest supply, and we can forget the IQ, we can forget the education, we can forget the degrees, we can forget the training, we can forget the organization, we can even forget the past victories, and realize without God, we're going to fail. Without God, you're going to fail. If you're a business owner without God, you're going to fail as a boss. If you're a mom, you're going to fail without God. If you're a dad, you're going to fail without God. If you're an employee, you're going to fail without God. If you're a pastor, you're going to fail without God. Whatever it might be, any Christian, any ministry, the fount of all blessings is God. We need God. We need God. We have a nice building here. And we have ministries up and running. And we have our methods. We have our machinery. And we have momentum. We have all that. But none of that means anything without God. We need God. We need God. We need God's presence. We need God's power. We will never reach a place where we've arrived. Job 33:12, Job said, "I will answer thee that God is greater than man." And truly he is. God is greater than man. Now, if you're listening today and you have never been born again, you need God. You need God. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, you can't work your way to heaven. That's a dead end. We are hopeless, helpless, hell-bound sinners. We need God. The Bible says it's not by our works that we're saved, but by his mercy. If we will turn from our sin and repentance to Christ in faith and call upon him and ask him to save us, we'll be born again. If we place our faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, we will be saved. The answer is Jesus Christ. You need Christ. In Matthew 12 and in verse 6, Jesus said these words. He said, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Jews had all kinds of faith in their Jewish religion, their Judaism. And Christ said, "No, there's one greater than your religion, one greater than even this temple." In Matthew 12, he said, "The queen of the south came from the uttermost parts of the earth," that's the queen of Sheba, "to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Do you realize how great Jesus is? Now, the Jews had a lot of stock in being Jewish, in being children of Abraham. In John 8:53, they said to Jesus, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham? Whom makest thou thyself?" Well, what's the answer to that? Christ greater than Abraham? Of course he is. Christ created Abraham. Christ created everything. That makes Christ greater than Buddha and Confucius and Muhammad and Mary and any other figure, any other person who has ever walked this earth. He is greater. He is greater. And he is great enough to save you. You say, "But I've done something serious. I have sinned greatly. Or I'm too great of a sinner." May I give you some good news? Romans 5:20, a verse I love, says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Where sin abounded, and truly it has, grace trumps it. Grace did much more abound. I'm so glad for that. We have a great God, and he can handle it. He can handle our deficiencies, our defeats, our despair, our disputants. He can handle the devil. He can handle our directives. He can handle our discipline, whatever it might be. He can handle it. If you're going through a situation right now in life, and you're struggling, you're wondering, you're perplexed, what's the next step? Well, I don't claim to have the answer, but I do know this much. I do know whatever it is, that God can handle it. God can handle it.
You've been listening to Pastor Tony Skeving of the Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. If you would like a CD of today's message, you can obtain one by sending a gift of $2 to Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. That address again, Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. We hope you'll join Pastor Skeving next time right here on Pulpit Power. Pulpit Power is a production of Heaven 88.7.